The following podcast is a member of the Pokecasters Network. Pokecasters Network, supporting Pokemon content creators, their shows, and the community of Pokemon fans. To find out more, check out PokecastersNetwork.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Reckless Rollers. This is episode 70-something, I don't remember. I'm Scott, the GM for this campaign. If you don't know who our regular players are, go back to episode 1 and continue from there. I guarantee you, other than the audio issues, it's a pretty fun fucking ride. So yeah, joining me here is two of our regular players.
It's me, Mars. And I play as Paxson. Well, I was going to say, I usually play as Paxson, but I think of someone else today.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And I'm Argo, and I'm playing as Omega Wannabe. And yes, I did leave the party for a time.
Yeah, so what happened last time was Wannabe took 30 damage from getting electrocuted by a Timpole. No, a Tynamo. Tynamo. I always get the two of them mixed up. A Tynamo. I wound up getting back-sassed a lot by Katri. They got in an argument, and the recording for that is a standalone little thing that I'm just going to refer to as the talk.
The talk.
And we're gonna more or less pick up, should we just pick up, like, right after
that? You know what?
Or, like, maybe about, like, half an hour later or an hour later?
How about half an hour later, so I'm not in complete angst and angry the entire last session?
Angsty wannabe.
I'm mad.
So, well, we talked about what Katri did to get rid of all of the anger, which was she fucking footloose forest danced all of her emotions out. How does Wannabe get rid of all of this anger? Does he, like, punch a bunch of boulders or some shit? Or is he focusing solely on looking for the stolen Pokemon?
He'll be looking for a stolen Pokemon right now. Angry later, missing Pokemon right now.
Alright, so in that case, I'm going to have you roll perception.
Wait just a second.
If you have Jovi out, you can roll Wannabe's perception with advantage.
Okay. Let me get on my Google. Let me get on my character sheet. No, there we go. Wait, folks. I know. No, that's not Jovi. That's not one. That's Jovi. There we go. Okay. Out of 2d6.
So, with an 11 out of 2d6, you very quickly pick up on just four sets of human footprints walking in the direction that you were, you know, looking for. One of them is a pair of boots, one of them is a pair of, well, actually I think two of them might be, like, more boot-like. One of them seems to be more like small loafers, and the last one just looks like high heels again.
Huh.
And
got four.
Following those four footprints, you manage to track them for a good distance up until you get to the entrance of the ice path, and they just kind of stop there.
Is there time to they enter the ice path, or?
It looks like they make it to the entrance of the ice path, and the floor there is just so thick with, like, hard ice that there's not really any showing of their path. But you do hear... You hear a somewhat familiar voice within the cave. Mostly because you heard this voice when you were picking up the baskets. It's kind of like a posh, prim and proper woman just berating someone, and just like a gruff, grumbly voice responding back. But you can't really make out the words, you can only make out the tone. Yeah, pretty much like that, and with the response just But you do see, as you walk up to the entrance of the ice path, there are a couple of like obvious revolution members. It's kind of easy to identify them because they're all wearing like these like plain black face masks that cover just their nose and mouth, and they have like black hoodies over it, or like not necessarily black hoodies, but just like a really a dark kind of toned hoodie. And there's just a small patch on like the shoulder that has just a design of a spray painted blue R on like their left shoulders. And they look like they're either guarding something or they're looking for something.
I kind of look down towards my Pokedex phone, where Albert is staying in there at the moment.
All right, so you got Albert staying in your watch, more or less.
Yeah, I kind of whisper, Albert.
Yes, how may I help you?
Shh. There's a lot of bad people in there. Do you have a camera on your phone?
I possess I possess the ability to record and capture audio and visual data, yes.
Keep playing that right now.
Affirmative. Recording now.
And keep your voice slow.
Affirmative. Recording now.
Thank you. I just kind of like this, get as close as I can without alerting them, and have Albert recording and recording whatever they're talking about.
Roll stealth.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Six off of 1d6. Oh boy.
Six off of 1d6, so... For wannabe, this is the stealthiest that you have ever managed to be. You're crouching behind rocks, darting behind shadows, and the amount of rocks that you kick in the meantime gets covered up by just like...
The loud fussy like, talking of a woman.
That and just like the cries of like just some swine up that are in the area. One Jinx that's just like swaying back and forth trying to sing an opera by yourself. Sad face. And there's like the berating from the prim and proper woman has managed to waken up some of the large winged gull bats, and they're using their sonar to just look for something to feast on. But for the most part, you manage to get close enough to hear these two revolution members just idly talking, like, "Hey Ricky, how's your day going?" "Oh, you know, it's getting harder and harder to find reason to stay here, because the big boss doesn't even remember our names anymore. He just calls us all grunt. Like,
slacking off.
We used to hang out and go bowling and all that shit, just like every Friday, and now he just seems to be too busy. He's just telling these four fucking schmucks that they're better than the rest of us."
How old do they sound?
They're like in their, like, based on like your experience being kind of around humans when you were enlisted, you can kind of tell they're maybe around like their mid-20s, mid to late 20s. And it looks like they like originally joined because they thought that, you know, they thought that their lives would have like a type of meaning if they were going against a big corporation, thinking that the corporation was doing all the bad shit.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like they felt like maybe they were having they feel a little betrayed by the leader, because the leader had like a they tried to make it a nice close-knit kind of feeling with the entire group.
And now it's just turned to a large joint organization.
Yeah. A large organization where everyone just kind of feels faceless. And you're kind of picking up on that. And, let's see. I'm rolling for something.
Boy!
High or low for favorable results.
I'm a humble man. We'll go lower.
All right.
How much? I just got fucked.
I'm a humble. D20. It's an 8 and it's a D20. You hear footsteps coming up from behind you, and you hear, "Hey, you wanna be? I didn't know you caught. You managed to get ahead of us." And if you turn around, you can see Professor Hickory walking up with a menagerie of Pokemon that were left with him by you and your group.
As soon as I see him, I just do the.
He's also being followed by Paxson's parents, and a Politoed that's just hopping, making wet footstep sounds. But he says, "Oh, yeah, sorry.
He can't, I just kind of slowly wave him over.
What's going on?"
It's the rebellion. No, what, the revolution. They seem to be in the ice cave for right now. And also, you know those. It sounds like you know those people that won the competition. That team of four.
Oh, we left before they. They crowned whoever won. I'm assuming you were one of the groups. So Congratulations.
We did, but it seems that the other group that won, they might be admins for this, for the revolution. New recruits.
Where's the rest of the group? Where's Paxton and Katri and the?
I'm taking some alone time.
Okay. I won't ask any questions. Just when you go to meet back up with them, could you take these guys with you? Because I'm sure they missed their trainer an awful lot.
Oh, sure.
And there's just like a Dartrix that looks very much at home in the ice cave. An Oricario that looks very much not at home because it can't fly and it's just like shivering. There's a very gangly impidimp that's just like shivering behind Professor Hickory's feet. And there's your Espeon. There's also a Golett that's just making every effort not to make the earth shake every time it takes a step.
Hey, Dartrix. Hey, Espeon.
The Espeon just kind of looks at you and gives a knowing expression. Like, it can tell that you separated for emotional reasons.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Just, Paxton's parents. You too. Well, Molly the mom. What's your name, man? Ma'am?
You've known me for years. I'm
Petra. I'm sorry. I'm just happy. You're part of the Rangers. Can you get some of them here?
I was part of the Rangers. I can try and get in contact with them, but I mostly do freelance work with them. But
well,
see if I can get a hold of their leader. See if he can set out a detachment if they're not working on something big.
Well, seeing as how we got a terrorist organization that's been attacking gyms and the members are in the ice cave, this is kind of big.
Well, considering the fact that you're here alone, I assume you've already let the local rangers know what's going on too, right?
I just got here. I thought it was going to be someone's store, Ponyta, and here we are.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see if I can get in contact with them. And she walks out.
Okay.
And
after that, I'm done talking to them. I'm going to try to sneak back to pick up any anything like where they might be guarding.
All right. So.
Meanwhile, using Rotom to take pictures, and yes, with I am taking the lighter off the camera for the
Rotom's capturing like video and audio.
Nice.
Of like everything that's going on, but real quick, we're gonna go to Petra.
Okay.
Like as she reaches in for her phone to contact her, well, contact, which is the Meowth, she reaches in there and she pulls out her phone and also a paper note, and she unfolds it and it just says Union Cave as soon as possible. You'll know the reason why. And when she looks at the handwriting, she realizes it's very familiar, but she can't place it. And she just pockets it and starts calling. And then we're gonna cut back over to you.
Okay. One, because he knows he can take a fight, but he's also injured, and as well as he knows there are way too many Gwents to take him on, at least me one on one.
So far, it's only been the two that you see, and the four others, the voices of them, it seemed to be getting farther and farther away.
The fact that admins also, that makes me realize probably tougher trains, meaning 1v4 is not a smart move, so if that's the case, 1B is going to wait till they're far enough until he's going to think of something. I'm going to check what Pokemon he has real quick, because he has Espeon and also the Pokemon he got from the
At this point, you can freely mess around with your party because you have Professor Hickory there with you.
Okay.
So, arrange your party how you see fit.
I'm just going to do a... Okay, I'm going to say, give me Peach.
Alright. He fumbles around with his like watch, taps on it a few times, and the ball for Peach just kind of like gives a soft, almost unnoticeable hum that lets you know that it's active.
Okay, he lets Peach out.
Peach, the slow poke, pops out of the Pokeball and thinks it's still at the beach and is looking around for trash.
Peach.
Slow.
You see those guys over there?
Takes like 3 minutes to fully turn towards the revolution guys. And then another 3 to turn back to you. Oh.
I need you to use Yawn on them.
Another 3 minutes where Peach just turns towards them, starts waddling closer and closer, and then just...
They even notice, there's like, what's the response of a lowland of Slowpokes making their way over?
They're a little caught up in their own conversation. They have not been standing guard all too well. Like, like the audio you hear is basically just them talking shit about each of the admins and just like, just like mentioning how much Simon's changed in the last like 3 weeks.
Hey, that's still information. It gives more intel on the admins and some of the changes of Simon.
Just like Simon doesn't come out of his office anymore. He's always being shadowed by a mime. a Mr. Mime.
One of these instincts go from, okay, interesting.
To ultra instincts.
Is he making any noticeable noise? Because I'm going to have you roll stealth again if that's the case.
Mental genesis of, oh god, oh fuck.
Just the mental feeling of having an aneurysm. Okay, got it.
Yes.
So, while this is going on, just slowly and steadily, Peach is making her way towards these two people and just lets out a very loud yawn. And they just turn and look, and they're just like, huh. That one of yours? Nah. Could be though. And he takes out a black Pokeball. And he drops it on Peach. And Peach goes in the Pokeball.
As soon as I have one beast stone the yak, and he rushes in.
Alright, so you're okay, rushing but, in.
Peach used Yawn on them, didn't he?
Yeah. So he dropped a Pokeball and like right as the ball starts shaking, he's falling asleep.
Like, is Peach trying to get out or are they stuck in it?
It's basically a snag ball, so it's just like...
Oh, so now Peach has a new Pokeball.
Yeah.
Like, so
Peach has a new Pokeball, but technically it's going to override the registration to you to this Ricky or whatever, unless you manage to find a way to bring it back.
All right. So, and well, Ricky's going half now, as they both fall to the ground unconscious. Warren B, you see, you remember that rope he bought?
The rope that's attached to the grappling hook.
Yeah, he's going to take off the grappling hook. He's just going to tie them up in the sturdy rope.
All right. So you're tying up these two sleeping people. I assume you're swooping Peach's Pokeball back, or well. The new Pokeball. And you're just leaving them tied up there?
No, I'm tracking them out of the cave.
Alright. You tie them up, you take them out of the cave. Roll perception as you leave the cave.
Oh boy. Nat 12!
Petra's gone.
Shit.
Yeah, Petra's gone. Off to the side, you can see like a piece of paper kind of just stuck onto a tree, and it has that same note: the Union Cave, get there ASAP.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Underneath that is, in her handwriting. Yeah, I'm going there. I called the Rangers. There should be some coming from Mahogany.
Okay, and with that, what he's going to do is, with that, knowing that some might be coming soon, he's going to distract them. Drag them off to the side, so if anyone leaves the cave, they won't be there. They won't notice them. He's going to look down towards Albert and say, "Albert, can I destroy Pokeball Peach will be okay?"
Abra?
Albert.
Oh, Albert.
The other one's acknowledged. He knows. They know a lot more than me.
Albert just kind of like jolts over to the snag ball that Peach is in. Interacts with the interface a little bit, then comes back to your watch and says, "I'm sorry, I can't do that."
I was wondering if I counted Peach out and then destroy the snack ball, or that caused Peach damage.
Results seem uncertain. You may attempt to release Peach from this snag ball and return her through your own Pokeball. However, results are uncertain.
And that's why I won't take the risk then. We'll have these two tied up. But I do let Peach out, though.
Alright, Peach comes out and roll intuition.
Oh no, my baby.
The baby.
My baby. 17.
She looks a little angry.
One, I'm more shocked that she's showing emotion in general.
Yeah, she looks a little angry, like she was just minding her own business and a second Pokeball hit her in the face.
Hey Daisy, I didn't know they had the snack box. I'm sorry.
She takes a minute to register what you said, realizes that you called her Daisy instead of Peach.
I mean Peach. Sorry, you're both named the plant life. I'm sorry.
But she registers that you're the one actually talking to her, and just her anger clears up a bit, and she just smiles and starts walking after you.
I just kind of kneel down. It's like, while we wait for the Rangers, I just kind of pet Peach on the head. It's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Slow.
Yeah, I guess I am kind of slow in the head sometimes.
And it takes a couple minutes. The grunts, Ricky and Bobby, are still asleep by the time the Rangers come up. And when they come up, they say, "Yeah, we got a call about some, like, Pokemon thieves or something."
"The right here, officer. I kind of pop up with my head from the bush, you know, let them know I'm here."
"Okay, cool. Do they have the stolen Pokemon?" "We were given information from the trainer that there appears to be a Ponyta missing, and a couple others have mentioned that they were missing Pokemon as well."
"They should be in the ice cave, but one of these thieves, they used a snack bar, and they used a snack bar on my Slowpoke here."
"Okay. So you went after them by yourself?"
"Look, I was in stressed emotions. I thought I'll just use my conscience. I didn't know I'd find this."
"Okay, just making sure that, like, you don't have any people further on in there that might be in danger."
They went down further down the ice path, but seems four of them, they could be dangerous. These two were following their orders."
"Okay, but you don't have any other people in your group that are, like, in there, right?"
"No. It's Professor Hickory Leaf."
"Hickory is with you." "Okay. So is Peter. Like, they've been with you. Petra left, but basically what they're asking is, do you know if there's anyone else in there that could be at risk of getting assaulted by these people?" "Okay. Alright, so, the ranger just, like, hands you a card and says, "Alright, we can handle it from here, but next time, give us a call if you're gonna go vigilante, alright?"
"Wait. How do I get my Slowpoke out of a snack bar?"
"Well, you'd have to leave her with us for a little bit. We have to, we have, like, a specific machine that can take away some of the toxins that are put in, some of the obedience toxins that are put in
obedience the snack ball.
She just needs to stay with us for a little bit for a detox, and, we can transfer over to a regular Pokeball and send it right back to you. The whole process takes, like, maybe a day or two."
"Okay." He seems mad that Petrus is injected with chemicals, even though they're poison type. He just kind of looks down, looks at Petrus. "These guys are going to fix you up, and once it's done, we'll be back together, okay?"
"Boop."
I hope that means good. He just kind of pats her head. "Stay safe, okay? These guys are going to help you out."
You know that Peach is very slow to react. The fact that she came out angry might have been a residue from the fact that she saw these people and went in on the offensive, and the anger was just, like, slow coming. But she seems to be her normal self. Just, you know,
maybe, like, red irises.
Not even that. She just has, like, a couple of weird, like, divots around her tail. Maybe one by her ear. It looked like they were from needles.
Okay.
But she doesn't seem to be, like,
hurting.
She's not a shadow Pokemon.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not bringing those in yet.
All right, he's just going, "Well, you stay. Well, they're going to take care of you, and we'll be back together before you know it."
Slow.
Slow.
and she just walks up to the rangers. But one of them is going inside the ice cave to go look for the rest of the crew, the admins.
I think you might want to go more people. If it's like an evil, if it's like an organization like Team Rocket, those people are probably tough customers with as admins.
Oh, don't worry. My partner is quite strong. I was actually taking part in the gym challenge and decided to become a ranger.
Oh, what's your Pokemon?
He opens a Pokeball and a Tyranitar comes out.
Oh, yeah, you're good. Have fun.
All right, any other questions or can I go kick these fuckers' asses?
Well, actually, my Rotom here. Say hi, Albert.
Hello.
He's been recording the entire conversation that I was able to pick up.
Transferring data. The ranger gets a little ping on his own watch that just says 5 gigabytes data transferring. And it's going to take a little bit of time, but if you stay close to him in the process, transfer should be done.
Want me to tag along for the transfer?
Hickory and Peter pipe up and say, you know, we were heading that way ourselves. We needed to get to Blackthorn anyway, so.
Maybe we can all go together then. Watch each other's back.
Alright, cool. Doesn't hurt to have a armed escort, I suppose. And you make your way into Ice Path. I'm not gonna have you roll like perception for Pokemon or anything, because there's a lot in there. There's some Swinub, you know what they look like, the little brown truffle pig.
Truffle pigs.
There's still one Jinx that's swaying, singing a lonely opera, and
I leave a tip. I leave an orange berry as a tip.
All right, she nods, still singing. The further in you go, the more you can tell that those four people are no longer in this cave.
If they all left the cave.
In fact, after a certain point, you can actually see their footprints again. And they just disappear. And there's just this kind of like energy where those footprints ended. As if you could tell that there was a teleport. Like a Pokemon used teleport to get them out. And the ranger just says, "All right, do you have a description for any of these people?"
Yes, they were the other team that actually won the competition for the Safari Zone.
Okay, I'll see if I can get a hold of fucking Thistleweight.
The description I can think of is one of them looked like a biker, the other one looked like she's from the Kalos region.
Okay.
Another one was a young child. Looked like a nice shirt, but looked like it was in rags. Another one kind of looked like any but a girl.
Okay. I'll have to look into who the fuck this N person is, but
it was the old Team Connect Team Plasma Leader. Basically they look like them, but it's not them.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see if I can get pictures from fucking Thistleweight, because he had to get photographic evidence of or photographic documentation for anyone going through anyway. Just you know.
Yeah.
But we'll put out an APB for these people. Keep all of our rangers on the lookout for them.
Got it.
But. Yeah, I guess.
That's all we can do right now.
Yeah. Do you need me to finish escorting you guys through this ice path? There's not much left to it.
We should be fine, but thank you, though.
All right. A little further in, you can see that there's a couple of... Or there's this group of Sneasels, these black and... Well, they're like black-furred creatures with different colored feathers sticking out of their head and their tail. And a couple of them have no feathers at all, and their fur is a chalky white. And their claws seem to be not as sharp or jagged, but more like blunt.
I'm going to Albert to see to do a little scan on them
from a distance. Scanning on them, you can tell that the Sneasels are native to this area. However, the white-furred ones are abnormal typing ones. They are normal and rock type, and it seems like based on how the other Sneasels are treating them, it seems like this happened quite recently, as in like within the last few days.
Yeah, more.
What's that?
Like, are they being mean to them, or just very confused on the new forms?
The white-furred ones are being examined as if there's a medical condition with them. Like, these Sneasels seem to have a sort of, like,
intelligence.
They have some form of intelligence, some form of societal type intelligence, and it looks like they're trying to find a way to treat them, to heal them, because
I'm going to look over to Espeon and say, I'm going to talk to them. You track of me if I leak out.
Espeon just nods and says, yeah, you got it. You seem to be getting a good handle on covering your tracks this way anyway, so I'll keep a mental eye out for any trouble.
What's that? You like role-playing game actual play podcasts? You like Kingdom Hearts? You want non-stop jokes punctuated by unexpected and massive angst? You enjoy a healthy disregard for Disney's greed and overreach in regards to copyright law? Well then, do we have the podcast for you. Kingdom Hearts of Forgotten Era is an actual play podcast that takes place 80 years before the events of Birth by Sleep, using the interstitial Our Hearts Intertwined system. We follow a group of 5 people going on adventures through the Disney world never seen before in the Kingdom Hearts series, as they try to overcome the darkness within their own hearts. With episodes dropping every Wednesday, we release way more often than the real thing. Also, Kronk is there!
These instincts go from okay, interesting.
To ultra instincts.
Is he making any noticeable noise, because I'm going to have you roll stealth again if that's the case.
It's more... He's not even making noise. He's... Here, let me find the perfect example of what of his reaction is.
Does he like bite into his arm or something to keep himself from making noise?
No. I need you guys to look in text-to-speech.
The people at home aren't gonna see what's in text-to-speech, Argo.
Okay, it's a Joseph's Joe star. Look and make campaign chat. Oh, wait, no, it didn't shut. Damn it. There we go.
So it's basically just him mentally going,
Yeah, pretty much. Mental genetics of, oh god, oh fuck.
Just the mental feeling of having an aneurysm. Okay, got it.
Yes.